Thanks to ATI Physical Therapy for powering the episodes we recorded while at CSM in Boston this year. Have you ever thought about where your career in physical therapy could take you? It's not just about the job, it's about making real connections that help patients get better faster. Imagine working somewhere you can grow through mentorship and get leadership training that matters. Sounds like a place you'd fit right in? Find out more at ATIPT.com and make a difference together.
Cody, before we hit record, you gave me a statistic that sort of made my head spin a little bit.
Sure.
You're going to give it to me again. The statistic was, how many clinics do you visit, oversee, run?
I oversee about 450 clinics for ATI, and I visit about all 450 in a given year. So I'm on the road a lot.
Oof. Yeah. And then, so like, walk me through like what's beyond platinum status of it on an airline.
That's about it. Yeah.
Like whatever it is.
Luckily for me, I do a lot of driving.
Wow.
So I'm not, I do a lot of driving because since I live in the Midwest, I can do a lot of driving to the Midwest.
And you're a physical therapist, right?
I am.
So people understand a physical therapist visiting that many clinics.
Yes.
What's a clinic visit like? Like, what are you looking for? I mean, obviously, it's to probably meet some people that are new, see some people that you're familiar with. But like, what's on the you have to have a checklist, otherwise, you know, it's impossible not to.
For me, it's getting a pulse of the team to be able to go in and say, hey, how are things going? What's going well? What's not going well? I like to interact with all aspects of the clinic, so our support, our clinicians, our clinic directors, just to be able to get a sense of how can we best support you to do the things that you want to do and need to do, which at the end of the day is take great care of patients. So it's great. It's usually about an hour and a half. I get to just go around and talk to folks and hear how their experiences are going, and it's a very good experience for me.
Do you have a thing? Like when people are like, hey, listen, you know, Cody's coming, he's bringing donuts. Like whenever he shows up, he brings it. Well, what's your thing? What's your grease to get in the door?
My grease. Yeah, no donuts, I wish. Maybe I need to start doing that. It might make it go a little easier. I think just time. Like the one thing that's really important to me is being available. And like no electronics, not on my phone. Yeah. That sort of just being very hyper present, because I think there's so much high quality information in those meetings, and you can miss it. So that's always the thing that I try to prevent against.
Well, they probably recognize that you are. I mean, when I said how do you do it, and you said listen, they probably understand. Your colleagues understand. If something's going to change, step one is making sure Cody hears me.
Yes.
And then you do the subtle thing, which is like, I don't have my phone out.
Yeah.
That says something without saying something. I had a sales manager who I love the guy. I hope he listens to my podcast still in radio.
Yeah.
He had this great trick. Uh-huh. He would go into sales meetings. He would take out his phone and he would turn it off in front of you and place it face down.
Yeah.
And someone said, well, why didn't he just keep it in his pocket the whole time?
Yeah.
And I think it really was a visual way of saying, like, you are the most important thing for the next 60 minutes. I am putting this off and down. Let me just take this out of the way.
Yeah.
And I saw him do that, and it was kind of goofy. It was a little showy at first. Yeah. And I was like, I watched how people reacted to it, and I was like, oh, that works. It was saying without saying.
It sends a message. I mean, it sends a very clear message that your time is the most important thing to me at this time.
Right.
And it's amazing the things, and I've made a number of those mistakes in my career of, if you're not actively listening and actively paying attention, you'll miss a lot of great things.
And they notice. They notice before you even think they think about noticing.
Yes.
They notice, right? Yeah. I actually love the Apple Watch. Love it.
Yeah.
But I've got to be better at when I go into a meeting. I don't even want it to buzz. Because then I look down just to make sure it's nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Or I you know, hit the button just to stop it from ringing.
Sure.
And that's too much.
Yeah, because you find yourself going, oh, what?
And then you're two steps behind
and the
person knows it, right?
Yeah.
I think the statistic was communication is 30% verbal. So 30% what you say. The other 70% is nonverbal and then paraverbal.
Yeah.
So nonverbal would be body language, eye contact, you know, leaning in, smiling, not smiling. Verbal obviously is specifically what you're saying. And the paraverbal is how you say it.
Yeah.
So if you're like disconnected, they pick up on it.
Sure.
They know.
Yeah.
All right. So some of the things that I'm sure you must get, what's on the list of things people bring to you? Because you're the guy who is the sounding board.
Yeah.
So what are just some of the things on the list? And then we'll get to the one that's like the gum on the bottom of the shoe.
Sure. I think for me, one of the questions I like to ask people is, what is the number one thing here at ATI that you feel like allows you to deliver an excellent patient experience, and what is the number one thing that you feel like makes it the harder or makes it harder?
I like how you start with the good and the difficulty.
Yeah, the good that we normally hear is the EMR is probably the one of the most common answers that I hear.
And you guys have your own. You made your own.
Yes, proprietary EMR system built by physical therapists. So we have a Tara Smith, who I'll give her a shout out. She's a therapist by trade. She's a lot of the brains behind the operation here for us. But it's really intuitive because what we know is that therapists spend a great deal of their day documenting. So if they hate their documentation system, they're not going to have a great day. So we spend a lot of time not only in its infancy creating the structure of it to match and be the most user-friendly experience, but we tinker with it a lot to be able to make sure that we take feedback consistently. Oh, it would be great if it did this or if it could have this aspect of it. So that's the thing that I hear most is very user-friendly EMR, easy to navigate, and it allows me to have the flow of my day where I don't feel like I'm taking a tremendous amount of notes home.
Well, I feel like even to get to making your own proprietary EMR is someone probably like yourself had to hear, hey, this is that thing that prevents me from doing the thing that I came here to do and the thing that you want me to do.
Yes.
Then someone said, great, how do we build, who knows how to build an EMR?
It certainly was not me.
Get a couple of those engineers in here. But you said Tara's a physical therapist.
She's a therapist by background. So she's both an IT and PT background. It's a perfect storm for us.
That's a cool Venn diagram.
Because she understands when therapists are bubbling up very unique and good ideas to say, hey, it would speed up my day if the EMR could do this, or if we had a flow sheet template or whatever it is. She understands both what that's going to take from an IT capability side, but also where they're coming from on how that actually can make an impact on your day-to-day.
She understands like the what, why, and how.
Sure.
And then goes, okay, I got what you said. I'm going to go back with the ones and zeros. I'm going to make the thing. And
exactly.
That's really cool. Well, I mean, it wasn't on the brochure. Where'd you go to PT school?
Widener University.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so right outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah. I know Widener. I'm from New York.
Okay,
It wasn't on the brochure administrative stuff. I saw a lot of people with legs and arms and treadmills and gadgets, and I was like, give me some of that.
Yes.
I saw a laptop in a lot of the pictures. They never explained what was on the laptop, and a lot of it is this stuff that we have to do.
Sure.
And it bubbles up, especially as we record here at CSM. It was a topic of conversation for maybe a couple years ago, this big thing. And APTA has done a lot to advocate for, hey, maybe we don't need to be giving you all this information. Let's just stick to the vital. But when I bring up administrative burden, how often does that come up? And what can you do about it?
I think a tremendous amount still at this point. And that's one of the things that I'm passionate about within my role. I have the ability to serve. I have 1,100 clinicians underneath me. And it really matters to me every day to think about how can we continue to make their lives easier, because happy clinicians deliver really great care.
Yeah.
And the one statistic that floored me this year, it came out in one of the, I believe it was a WebPT report that shows clinician burnout's at an all-time high. It's not unique to PT,
right?
But PT is not safe from it, in the sense of PTs are saying at their highest levels ever, I'm burning out, I'm having trouble at work, I'm having trouble getting my work done, and their satisfaction levels are going down. And that's something that I take very seriously. And I view our ability as a company and our size and with our resources, I think we have an ability to go solve for that through a number of the things that we're doing to take the administrative burden off of our clinicians.
Where do you think it is on the list of the two questions you ask? What's the thing that allows you and prevents you? Where is it? Top three?
Oh, it's top one. It's some variation of administrative burden happening. It's either documentation.
Let's go into that then. Yeah, what are the different things that go into it? So documentation is the thing I think of in most people, but what else is there?
Documentation, dealing with authorizations.
Oh,
we've seen authorizations.
I hated those things, man.
Not fun.
No.
Not fun. And the number of patients requiring authorization has continued to increase year over year over year. So just the amount of stuff, paperwork and reviews and peer-to-peers that a clinician has to do at this point today.
And it stops the whole process. Everything stops until that can move on.
Exactly.
Man, that's got to just great on you.
Yeah, and you can't put it on the back burner because you have a patient that's waiting for care. So you have documentation, authorizations, and just any day-to-day amount of call it, nothing in a high sense, but all of the things that stack up together of, oh, if the phone is ringing or if I have to go and the patient walks in. And those are all things that we have taken a lot of time to be able to study and see where is the time from our clinicians going. How do we then solve for some of these things? And on our roadmap, there's a number of things. One, continuing to enhance our EMR, which is, I think, going to be huge and a game changer for our teams, to being able to continue to you think about just the front office and administrative burden that oftentimes makes its way all the way down to the clinicians.
Sure.
How do we put tech and different tech solutions in place, like a digitized intake and different sort of digitized forms, so the clinicians are just doing less and less and less?
Yeah.
Because our ideal state is that the clinicians are doing minimum necessary as it relates to administrative burdens. They can do what they want to do, which is take care of patients.
Administrative burden, all these things, they're not killers, but they're the rock in your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over a long enough year or career,
sure,
those things just wear on you.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, you know, we see PTs leave the industry at a very young age compared to other healthcare industries, and that's concerning and something that I think we need to continue to solve for.
Yeah. What are some I don't want to call them tricks, but what are some things that you help educate clinicians on? Because sometimes it's a process issue.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you were CI from three clinics ago. We're talking about that.
Yeah.
But this isn't easier. So I imagine education, just best practices and using the EMR. Are you using this tool to its capacity?
Well, yeah, that's a really good point. One of the other great aspects I think that we've leaned into heavily is being able to give our clinicians the ability to have very, very easy access to best practices for clinical care and to be able to see all of their clinical information of their patients in one spot. We call it our PMT, our patient management tool, where all of the information for each of an individual clinician's patients is housed there. So how they're doing, what their outcomes are, how many times they're canceling, what their average time is from a dosage standpoint. So all of those things where a clinician can look and see, how can I assess the overall status of my caseload and then make any changes that I need
to? It's like a dashboard.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a dashboard. And then it links then to, hey, we also have a number of these different resources that show you this is how best practices for these particular cases. It's not being overly rigid, but it's saying, hey, you can nudge folks to do the right thing.
Bowling with guardrails.
Well. Exactly.
Okay. You decide how you get down there within these two things.
Exactly.
This sounds like... It doesn't sound like it is a marriage of technology and patient care. Mm. And that sounds like user experience or the patient or the clinician life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it start with intake? Like, that's got to be an area of a friction point for yourself, for patients, for clinicians.
Yeah, I think it has to start at intake. And I think that is where the tech solutions can really start to help out. As I think about intake across healthcare, a lot of it, even going back to very recently, done on paper, and that's a lot of time and energy and effort. So for us, it's digitizing our intake process to be able to make sure that patients can interact with us, fill out their paperwork on their phone, because that's the environment that they want to experience us anyway, and then that can reduce a ton of downstream impact of clinicians or support staff needing to collect that information, enter it into the system, all the data entry that goes with it. Yeah. So that's a really important part of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've all sat in waiting rooms and filled out three different forms with the same information on all three forms. Like, I just did this, dude. Like, what do I do? Can't you just take this? And, well, that's for this, and that paper is going to get routed to the, okay, I get it. But it can be done. We know it can. I use this example the other day, as I can book an appointment with my barber, tell him I want a hot shave and I want this and okay, and then I can find a slot that matches from my calendar and it books it on my calendar. That can be done. Yeah. Sounds like, for some reason, healthcare is either at the bleeding edge in the beginning
or we're
catching up. But it sounds like once attention is paid to it, you're solving it.
Yeah, and it's one of those very great crossroads of excellent patient experience that actually reduces the burden on the clinicians and clinic teams. So it enhances both. So there's no trade-off in that area.
I don't want to throw the clinic I was on under the bus, because they were great, but they were still on paper, and this is not that long ago. And I'm just talking about the amount of hand-done paperwork, and I was in pediatrics, so it was the patient's mom or dad. And how frustrated they'd be. And that's my first encounter with you.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jimmy. Oh, I got these 10 pages of paper. Oh my God, that's not me. I'm here to do the function. I'm the fun guy.
Yeah.
And that was I had to overcome that in the first, that's my first impression. Imagine nice on your first date. It's like, here's 10 pages of information you got to fill out. Like, and I'm going to win this girl over. Yeah. Not going
to
happen.
Nice to meet you. Enjoy your next 30 minutes here.
Right. Yeah. It feels like it has nothing to do with why you're there.
Yes.
It's hard enough to get them in there to understand what we do, where the first thing is something that's not on the brochure.
Yeah. And then it goes one step further even as you think about that patient experience from the beginning, being able to interact with us in a more digitized environment,
right,
so that they have ease of access to us. They can connect with us on their terms. Then you also have the ability, and where we're developing towards, is to have this asynchronous communication with patients.
Oh, yeah.
So to be able to check in on their symptoms. How are you doing? What do you need? Do you have any questions around your home exercise program? So not only are you enhancing their experience, you are hopefully then driving increased adherence to their home exercise programs, driving outcomes with that. So there's a lot of opportunity, I think, within PT, and that's where we're driving towards as a company.
I say this all the time. I gave a presentation yesterday to researchers, and I said, the people you're trying to educate with your research, mm-hmm. the distance between you and them is the thickness of the glass of your smartphone.
Yeah.
The same is with your care provider, no matter what it is, but there's some infrastructure to that. Yes. There's also some advanced, safety and encryption, right? So,
sure. So
getting it done is simple, not easy, but simple, mm-hmm. but it's important. So yeah. It sounds like you guys are just paying attention to these things. I can hear the people listening right now in the future saying, yeah. Oh yeah, we need more of that. If we don't have that, we need more of that. Because that would make my minute to minute or day to day feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's the hope. And we fully believe that that's the right direction to go. Because it's, as we said, if you can serve the patients and you can serve the clinicians at the same time, that's the biggest win-win you can have in healthcare.
Yeah, it sounds like you come right at that point, right?
Yeah.
You're the
WD-40, yes,
of making that patient interaction
exactly.
a little bit less
exactly.
friction-filled.
Yeah.
Anything else in administrative burden that comes up that clinicians who are really, really giving you honest feedback?
Yeah, I think those are really the biggies. And the authorization one and the EMR one are the two
Yeah, they're not going away.
The two most common ones. And that is, I think, where we can continue to solve for within the overall space.
Just being around that many people and seeing so many people who are the same, because they're all clinicians,
yes.
but they're all vastly different,
sure.
right? What are some of the, I mean, and also geographically,
yes.
like with 400 clinics,
uh-huh.
like, so what are the fun different places? Like you, I mean, you're mostly in the Midwest,
yes.
but that's not all the same.
Midwest and Texas. So I'll leave from here. I'll go to Austin next week. So I spoiled a little bit to go and get away. And I'm in 27 degree weather here. I'll get to go down to Austin here soon. I think the interesting thing is seeing the differences in sometimes mentality or just local and regional
culture.
Healthcare philosophy, I think, is different. Now, the nice thing about us as a company and the size and the consistency being under one brand, all one EMR, one process, we don't necessarily experience variability in the way that we deliver care, but it's fun to go and just see how different schools think about things in Wisconsin versus Texas and to be able to have those interactions. So it's just a very fun environment and people want to take you to their favorite dinner spot and you go out. So it's just a nice cultural experience overall.
I always like to see that. It's a great conversation starter and you learn a lot, which is what are the biggest similarities and differences, but a lot of times you can't ask that to someone because they don't, that's their normal. What do you mean this is weird?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that's fun for me is I get to then provide some of that perspective of, when y'all may have been doing it in Texas like this for a long time. Well, that's new to in Illinois or whatever it is. Whatever.
Or have you thought about?
Yes.
You get to co-opt a lot of their ideas. Like, hey, I've got this really great idea. It's because you saw it somewhere else.
a week before.
yeah. You're like, I think this would work and because you've seen it work somewhere else.
Yeah, because I've seen this. Yeah.
But that's knowledge translation or knowledge transfer.
Absolutely.
We wrap up every episode with a parting shot.
Yes.
Did they prepare you for this?
Yes.
It's your mic drop moment, your soapbox statement. What would you want your parting shot to be?
Yeah, I think my parting shot here is, as I'm a PT by background, as I said, I've been with ATI for about 10 years, so my entire career. And I have never been more excited about where we are right now within not only the industry, but for us as a company.
Yeah.
And why that is because we're focusing on everything that we've talked about in this episode, removing the administrative burden from our clinicians, being able to enhance the clinician experience, and then being able to experience the downstream impact on patients. Yeah. I think we are in a true renaissance within the profession. And I think we had to go through some choppy waters to get to this point.
Yep.
Everyone knows the hardships that the profession has faced over the past few years. But I think at this point in time, we're at a true jumping off point, and that's what I'm very excited about.
That's cool. I mean, you mentioned Renaissance. Before the Renaissance, it was the Dark Ages.
Yes.
So we got to go through the dark before
exactly.
we get to the Renaissance and bring that in.
Certainly.
Cody, appreciate your time here at CSM. Yeah. I know you're busy.
Thank you so much.
For sharing insight,
I appreciate
man.
Your time.
Awesome.
Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.